Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the... This week, we have news about IDW's distribution changes, a review of Transformers number 33, and we've got a great discussion about Paramount's reorganization. Today is Friday, September 24th, 2021, and this is episode 252 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast where we were the runner-ups to be the regular rotating Jeopardy hosts. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
The amazing and awesome producer and editor Mike.
I didn't read the intro beforehand and I didn't prepare anything. Oh no.
That's why you were not selected as a Jeopardy host.
I know.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian beast.
What is the best Transmissions episode ever? This one is.
You sound super confident about that, Daryl.
I'm sorry, Daryl. That's wrong. You meant last month's or last week's episode of Empire Breath.
And just how much money did you wager? Ooh, all of it. Sorry, that's going to cost you.
Joke's on you. I only had $10. Let's talk Transformers.
Yay, he said it. As always, we start the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you all so much for continuing to support the show. And this week, we welcome our newest Donatrion to the ranks, joining as a duly appointed supporter of the Transmissions podcast. Thank you, Chrono Crator. Welcome. Woo! And really appreciate it.
Chrono Crator.
You're the best. Thank you.
You're my new favorite Patreon.
And we know from...
I said new favorite, damn it.
New, okay, new.
And we know from looking at the Transmissions Discord that Chrono Crator is a big fan of Empire of Rust, our Transformers live play action RPG podcast. And... So we appreciate him or her. I actually don't know coming on for and joining the becoming a Donatron and getting access to those sweet early uncut episodes. So this week we had Empire of Rust episode 59, and that access is available. That was available starting Monday, September 20th. Episode 59 was Keeping Pace with the Pythagoreans, and the regular main episode will be out next Monday, September 27th. So if you're not on the Donatrion, you're not a Donatrion, don't have access to the Patreon, that's okay. The regular episode will be up this Monday for everyone to listen. So in the Transmissions Empire of Rust free feed for everyone to hear. But you might still want to think about becoming a Donatrion because we've got some extra special Empire of Rust content coming up very soon. And Mike has announced it this week. We talked about it on the toy show. Mike, why don't you give us a quick recap for Alt Mode?
Absolutely, Charles. Just like we've been doing for quite a while now, every couple months to once a year or so, I get together with the Transmissions crew and a couple of the players from Empire of Rust, and we do a special Transmissions Empire of Rust collaborative story. So this year we recorded our annual tradition here about 2 months ago, and I have been hard at work editing and getting sound design together, making everything sound just perfect. And I'm glad to say that we are about to release these starting on October 4th. We have 6 episodes coming out, and they are going to be weekly episodes for those 6 weeks. So from October 4th to November 8th, you get an extra dose of Empire of Rust. It is going to be Charles, Yoshi, Patrick, and Matthew, both the two of them from the Empire of Rust cast. And yeah, we're going to go through a little adventure. We're going to have a good time. Jokes will be told. Insults will be hurled. You know, all the typical gaming stuff. But I highly encourage all of you, if you are not already a member of the Patreon, go ahead and consider signing up. Doesn't cost that much. It's a minimum level, $1 a month. So everyone can afford well, not everyone, but most people can afford $12 a year. So yeah, if you can do it, I highly encourage you to join the Patreon and get access to 6 brand new episodes of Empire of Rust starting on October 4th.
Yeah, I had a blast doing this. I wish I could do this more often, although it's a bit of a time commitment. So it's good we keep it as a special occasion and turn this yearly custom into an annual tradition. So
for you and me both.
But yeah, this was a fun Empire of Rust special episode, and it is the return of Scrap Heap. He's the only character who made the transition into the next storyline. So, it's fun playing this character and seeing all the adventures he gets into, and all the other bots he gets to interact with. So I was excited to have Scrap Heap hang around. He's maybe not the toughest bot, but he gets the job done sometimes. So
occasionally.
All right, so everyone look forward to that. That is, we'll be starting October 4th on the Transmissions Patreon. So if you are a Donatron, you will have access to that automatically. And we will definitely remind you in the coming weeks that it's coming up. So stay tuned. All right, let's get into some comics news. All right, well, first up, IDW is making some changes. They are getting a new distributor. So previously, IDW had switched all their graphic novels to be distributed through with Penguin Random House, but they were still distributing their regular comics through Diamond. But now, as of next year, June 1st, 2022, they will be using Penguin Random House for all of their direct market comic distribution. So that includes the floppies, the periodicals, and the trades. So this is another, I say this is a victory for competition in the marketplace, where Diamond does not have a stranglehold on the market anymore. But looks like IDW is also moving away from Diamond to distribute through Penguin Random House. So
this is a deal I think I saw was similar to what Marvel is doing through Penguin Random House. I don't know if we should read into that anything, but I think at the very least it gives some stability to IDW, because Penguin Random House is really big. It's worldwide. It gets them into a lot more stores. So I think it's a great thing.
Yeah. And so I think that's it's just interesting. I wonder, I hope this means that, we get some more, more competition in the distribution game, means that the market gets a little wider, maybe some savings get passed on to consumers at some point. I know that's probably wishful thinking on my part.
Any discounts that they would have had through Diamond, or like Diamond would have and could pass along to their customers, probably don't exist anymore. So we'll have to see what Penguin Random House does with discounts.
Yeah.
But this also, we didn't mention it here, but IDW also is losing the Marvel action line.
Oh yeah.
So they're still going to be able to do the Star Wars stuff, the Marvel Star Wars stuff that they do, but the Marvel action ends with their December solicits. So still worried a little bit about IDW, but that's some good news and some bad.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe your theory about Marvel eventually acquiring IDW, that we're, maybe that the probability of that is increasing a little bit. I don't know.
I mean, I think it would be fine, like, have IDW be a subsidiary separate from Marvel, handling licensed comics or the younger audience things like the Marvel Action and Star Wars Adventures, stuff like that. I mean, that they're definitely the one of the best publishers in that area, you know, in the industry.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of December solicits, we do have the Transformers comics coming in December from IDW. And so these are all, ongoing series and mini series. So not really any surprises. We've got Transformers 38, the main series, Beast Wars number 11, King Grimlock number 5, Shattered Glass number 5. I think both of those series will be wrapping up with those issues. And then Wreckers, Tread and Circuits number 3. So that one will still be going on. So, yeah, lots of... and the comics have been on a pretty good schedule in the last few months. So hopefully all these books will all come out on time. And with that, we will move on to our comic review. This week we are reviewing Transformers number 33, Lord of Misrule, Swendles 2. Written by Brian Ruckley, art by Beth McGuire Smith, colors by David Garcia Cruz, letters and design by Jake M. Wood, editor David Marriott, assistant editor Riley Farmer, and supervising editor Tom Waltz. We've got three covers for this comic. We've got cover A with Bumblebee's new crew. That's Swindle, Trick Diamond, Rough Stuff. And then cover B is Barricade getting ahead of Bumblebee, literally, by stomping on his head. And that is our... and cover A was art by Ed Peary. Cover B is art by Lane Lloyd. And then the retailer incentive cover is another shot of Bumblebee and the new crew, particularly Swindle having an arms race with lots of artillery. And this is by Alex Milne. So a nice, cool new image by Alex Milne. Daryl, which of these three covers do you like? Although I think I can guess which one you would pick.
You think you know me, huh? Yeah, the Alex Milne one is just, it's really great. I was kind of PO'd when I couldn't get this cover from my store because I love the absolute armament like that these guys have at their backs. It looks like they're just ready for World War III kind of a deal. It's just, it looks fantastic. Yeah, I love this image. Yeah. Alex Milne's image all the way.
All right, Mike, which cover are you picking?
I'm actually going to say the same thing, but it is a very, very narrow lead over cover A. I really do like the just very clean lines, the very expressive faces and everything on cover A, but just the sheer amount of detail in there for Alex's cover. Yeah, I'm going to have to eke it out a little bit on that one. So, yep. The RI cover is my pick as well.
All right. And Jeremy, which one are you picking?
Well, I have to say I liked all three covers with this issue. If you've seen my picks in the past, I do kind of like the more minimalist pop art type designs. So like cover B speaks to me there. I think it's a fun image, except the Decepticon stamp that Daryl has now made it where I notice every time. The cover A by Ed Peary, like Mike just said, the clean lines and stuff. It's a really great image. I really like it, especially the funness of having, Bumblebee being forced to kind of half smile. That's a lot of fun. But then, just Alex comes in and it's like, here, let me show you what I can do. And it's just the sheer amount of detail in that image is just, spectacular. So yeah, I'm definitely going to choose the RI.
It's almost unfair to put Alex against other artists at this point.
Right. Just have him do all three. And then Daryl's like, I don't know. What do I do? What do I do?
That would like be, well, that would be a Sophie's choice for sure.
No, wouldn't you just buy all three?
And we rename it to the Full Daryl.
Well, I am going to go against the grain, and I am going to pick cover A, Ed Peery's cover. And I do love Alex Milne's art. His image is great, but I just really appreciate the fun in Ed Peery's image here. And yeah, the expression on all the bots' faces, particularly Bumblebee and Trick Diamond trying to, you know, make Bumblebee smile a little bit. I just think it's a really fun image, and it really captures the you know, what happens in this comic too. I just like this whole little subplot of Bumblebee becoming like a criminal underling working with Swindle after, you know, he's a criminal because he murdered Quake. Then he's escaped from prison and he's like a fugitive. And now he's, you know, kind of this underground, black market, working in the black market and everything. I just thought it's a fun storyline. And I think this image captures that. So,
and conveniently, no faction symbols visible.
Charles, I got a message just showed up from Alex. He says I wanted me to let you know you're dead to him.
Oh, okay.
Deserved.
Well, I knew it was coming. No, but I want Alex back on interiors on some books. So I mean, we IDW. Bring Alex back for some art. You know, you've got lots of Transformers series going on right now, and I'm sure there's going to be more miniseries next year. So, give Alex one. Give Alex a couple.
And, not just Transformers.
Yeah,
I'm sure you can do other stuff.
Yeah,
the big two need to be like, hey, what's that guy's number?
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, seriously, IDW, do you just not like him anymore?
I don't know, man. I don't know what their problem is, but. I don't know how a company can look at the stuff he puts out and just says, let's give him a cover every 3 months.
Did Alex like raise his rates or something? Is that why they kind of pulled back on it? He's too expensive for them because he's so good.
Doesn't he deserve more?
No, I'm not saying it's wrong of him to do so. It's just, I understand that if he did raise his rates and cited IDW as hurting for cash, it's like, okay, you know, we can't afford you. Sorry. But I can't imagine it would be so much that they couldn't afford him.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. This is, this is all idle speculation. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Shrugging my shoulders. I don't know.
Who knows? Alex, if you know, write in. Tell us.
And IDW, if you know, hire Alex and give him more work.
Yeah.
Don't write in. Don't tell us. Just hire him.
All right. Let's get into the story. In the new era of Decepticon rule, Swindle's gambling casino has become a hangout for off-hours Decepticons who want to watch bot-on-bot wrestling matches. As Crasher crushes her opponent Tentakill in the ring, Decepticon guard leader Sixshot observes from Swindle's office. Swindle hopes this demonstrates how his establishment is completely compatible with the new Decepticon regime, and that Sixshot won't shut him down. Sixshot doesn't respect Swindle's poor imitation of gladiatorial combat, but he doesn't see the harm. Sixshot does stipulate that he can only serve Decepticons. Swindle immediately agrees, thankful that his business can continue uninterrupted, and Sixshot leaves. With Sixshot gone, Swindle can get back to his secondary business, collecting important information for fun and profit. Trick Diamond has already identified a few Decepticons who like to party a bit too hard. These bots are perfect marks for a little friendly interrogation with highly potent Energon. After giving Twirl, Nautilator, and Refractor some special Energon, they get pretty intoxicated, which also makes them talkative. Swindle flatters Twirl a bit, and she lets slip some info about the enigma of combination. In the basement of Swindle's, Rough Stuff and Bumblebee, still wearing the formerly Ascenticon, now Decepticon badge, continue to do some grunt work, paying off their debt to Swindle for breaking them out of prison. Trick Diamond comes down and tells Rough Stuff to go upstairs and stand watch while Swindle continues his interrogation of their special Decepticon guests. After Rough Stuff leaves, Trick Diamond mentions to Bumblebee that Rough Stuff told her Bumblebee was asking too many questions about mentorship. Bumblebee brushes off the complaint, and Trick Diamond asks what's his deal with always talking about mentors anyway. Bumblebee can't believe she doesn't understand why that would be an issue for him, since his only mentee, Rubble, was murdered by Quake. Trick Diamond apologizes, then mentions how she had a great mentor, Big Wing. Big Wing showed her all of Cybertron and showed her who he was, trying to be a good example for her. When his mentorship was done, Big Wing decided to leave Cybertron and explore the galaxy, but he was unfortunately killed in an asteroid disaster on the colony of Mayalx, which was actually an attack by the rampaging Constructicon Combiner Devastator, but Trick Diamond doesn't know that. Anyway, Trick Diamond's point is that Big Wing's death showed her there's an asteroid coming for all of us, so best not to bother getting too serious and enjoy life while you can. Bumblebee isn't so sure that's the lesson Big Wing was trying to impart. Later, while Bumblebee is cleaning up in Swindle's after hours, Swindle comes to him with some news. It's not the location of Barricade, the other bot decides Quake, responsible for Rubble's death, but he does have info about Bumblebee's friend, Alita One. She's been a prisoner of the Decepticons since she was removed as leader of the Ascenticon Guard and was framed as a traitor to the Ascenticon cause. Now she's being moved from her solitary prison to join all the former senators the Decepticons are holding hostage. Bumblebee perks up and immediately wants to go rescue her. Swindle knew he'd be interested and hired some additional muscle to help. Charger and Fire Beast will go with him to help break her out during the transport. Of course, the cost of their services will be added to Bumblebee's tab. They're discreet, but not cheap. As luck would have it, Barricade is part of the team transporting Alita One, along with Ravage and Jolt. Barricade gloats as he escorts her out of the prison, while Alita One adds him to her long list of personal betrayals. Meanwhile, Bumblebee, Charger, and Firebeast get into position to intercept the prisoner transfer. Firebeast's robotic rhinoceros form transforms into battle armor for Charger, and they combine into a much tougher bot with a giant horn on their head. Charger lives up to his name and charges headfirst into and through the wall behind the prison. As a helmet on Charger's head, Firebeast's eyes shoot fire into a surprise Jolt. Alita One sees Bumblebee come in through the hole in the wall behind Charger, and she knows this is a rescue. She takes the opportunity of the ambush to kick Ravage into the air, giving Bumblebee an easy target that he takes advantage of. Barricade tries to mount a defense and take cover while shooting back at Bumblebee and Charger, but he forgot Alita One was behind him. She uses her still handcuffed arms to wrap them around his neck and pull him down. Bumblebee is surprised to see Barricade here, but now he's finally got him right where he wants him. On the floor, Barricade pleads for his life as Bumblebee points his gun at Barricade's chest plate. Bumblebee hesitates, getting a flash of memory back to the day he became a mentor. Orion Pax is proud to see his friend get such a high honor. Bumblebee tells him he knows Orion Pax nominated him, but Orion just shrugs and says the nominations are always anonymous to eliminate any bias in the judging process. Orion Pax just encourages his friend Bumblebee to be the best version of himself for his new mentee, and he'll do fine. Ultimately, Bumblebee decides not to murder Barricade. After all, killing Quake didn't bring Rubble back and just made things worse. Charger isn't so plagued with moral dilemmas and is willing to finish the job himself, but Alita One interrupts and says it's just time for them to leave. Charger reluctantly agrees, but he does burn off Barricade's hand just to make sure he doesn't shoot them in the back as they leave. Back at Swindle's, they cut the cuffs off Alita One, while Bumblebee asks Swindle if he knew Barricade would be there. Swindle denies that, saying he only knew Barricade was somewhere in the city, but didn't have any specific info he could give to Bumblebee yet. Bumblebee is frustrated with Swindle's information hoarding. What's the point of collecting all this information if you don't use it or tell anyone? Swindle retorts that this is what will keep him in business, and he's got plenty of potential customers still in Iacon to make deals with, especially info about Decepticon troop movements, the dwindling supplies of Energon, and the location of the Enigma of Combination. Bumblebee stops him on that last one. Does Swindle really know where the Enigma is? Swindle says, of course. Bumblebee now sees an opportunity to actually help. He'll broker a deal between Swindle and Optimus Prime and the Autobots to give them the info about the Enigma of Combination. The Autobots will be in Swindle's debt, and Bumblebee gets to help the Autobots fight back. Swindle does like covering all sides and having the winning side in his debt no matter which side it is. He agrees to Bumblebee's plan. Elsewhere, Skywarp teleports all over the planet, learning about the new status quo. After stealing some Energon from a couple of Decepticons at a storage facility, he jumps around a few more times, watching the Decepticon army on the march. He realizes the Decepticons are the side he wants to be on if he wants to cause the most chaos and destruction. So he teleports to a nearby Decepticon outpost and asks the guard, "Take me to your leader." That is the end of Transformers issue number 33, to be continued. So, yeah, I actually like this issue. I thought it was a nice little self-contained issue just focusing on Bumblebee and what he's doing after escaping from the prison. I like that we finally get to check in on Alita One and how she's doing. I mean, it was a long time ago since Alita One got kind of removed and sidelined as part of the Ascenticons. It was even before the Ascenticons became Decepticons. I thought the art, Beth McGuire Smith's art was, really well done in this issue. I think in the past we had some issues with some of the kind of rougher line work she did in previous issues, but I thought this one was actually really clean. The lines are really clean and really well done. And I thought all the characters looked really good. And I think it was a good kind of single one and done story about about Bumblebee. Bumblebee finally getting his getting a chance to resolve his like revenge for the death of Rubble after and I like seeing some growth from Bumblebee where the act he committed of murdering Quake really did affect him and he still had this vendetta against Barricade, but ultimately he decided against it. So it was nice to see some personal growth from Bumblebee and seeing how he's not quite an Autobot yet. He's still, working for Swindle. It's just interesting to see him in this state. And it's definitely a different path for Bumblebee that we hadn't seen explored in other iterations of the character. So that's my take on issue 33. Daryl, what did you think of this issue?
I thought it was okay. I gotta say and you mentioned his name and I forgot it already and I knew it was in the I knew it when I was reading the book, but the guy with the animal partner and then they combine, that guy?
Charger.
And Fire Beast.
I fucking love that guy. That guy's awesome. I want that as a figure, just like a deluxe size figure or a Voyager size figure and a little partner animal thing. And then they combine and then the animal head becomes the figure's head. And that's awesome. I love that. Make that a thing, Hasbro.
Well, that is an Action Master. It's based on an Action Master that was released, I think, only in Europe, according to the TF Wiki.
Is it? But does it do that, though?
It does do that, yes.
Shit. I got to get that. I did not know that. Okay. Yeah.
Fire Beast is the transforming Action Master partner of the Action Master Charger.
No shit. All right. Well, I got to find that figure then because that looks fucking awesome. All right. I want that thing now. I liked Swindle in this. Swindle was written as I would expect him to. It's different. It's a different take on Swindle. He's dealing in information rather than in, stuff. It's still Swindle. He's still doing the same kind of shit. The rest of the story, it was good. The fight scenes were okay. I'm not as forgiving about the art. I didn't like it as much as you did. I still find it pretty rough It's, you know, it's kind of really cartoony. There's a serious lack of, you know, backgrounds and stuff like that. There is, you know, they're inside of this compound. Anytime any kind of real action is happening, it's like it's an anime with all the, like, you know, I see Alita 1 kicking Ravage, and it's like, I don't know what that is. It's like a fire blaster, you know, I don't know what you call that, but it's, I don't know. It looks a little odd. I don't know. It's just, that same kind of effect was used quite a lot during the book. So, you know, I liked the addition of Skywarp's, his little storyline there. He's kind of progressing here through and, you know, kind of figuring things out. Yeah, it's okay. It's, you know, not a whole hell of a lot happened, I don't think. But the action sequences were okay. They were decent. But God, I love that Charger figure. I want that. I'm going to start finding that because that looks awesome.
Well, I put links to the wiki and tfu.info in the Discord, Daryl.
That doesn't help me. Links to eBay. I want find it on eBay.
Australian eBay link for the body of the figure.
No, that doesn't help.
Jeremy, what did you think of the book? Are you in love with Charger as well?
I mean, it's cool. I'm not as in love with Charger as Daryl is. I don't know if anyone can be.
You're nuts. He's awesome.
But I mean, you know, I do love that they're Ruckley is bringing in these, you know, obscure characters. I mean, much like we've seen in the past with like More Than Meets the Eye and stuff, and, you know, give these great personalities to these unknown characters. And then people like Daryl are like, what, this actually exists? And, you know, I think that's great. Comic itself, I enjoyed the story. This has a little bit more like kind of intrigue and, you know, like y'all were saying about Swindle. He's still being Swindle, just a little bit different in the materials that he's dealing with. And I think it's cool. I love like spy stories and stuff like that. And this has a little bit of that to it. I'm wondering, you know, how long this is going to go on though. I mean, as we've mentioned many times, pacing and stuff is always an issue. As a standalone story, this book was fun, but, you know, we all want Bumblebee and Alita 1 to return to the Autobots. And it's just, how long is that going to take? And what twists and turns are we going to have to get there? But I do like that we did get Alita 1 back. She's now, you know, reunited with Bumblebee, who's probably the only person in this crew that she can trust. I'm looking forward to seeing kind of how the interactions are going. I didn't have a big problem with the art at all. I thought it was good. I mean, the backgrounds, yeah, that's kind of an issue at times. But the bots themselves, I thought they were fine. They were good. There was one thing, and this is totally Daryl with the whole logo or faction symbol thing. On a page where they were in the bar after breaking Alita 1 out, you see the top image of Bumblebee has this big stamp of the Decepticon logo. And then lower down has a smaller drawn version. I'm like, just draw it the whole time. It's fine. It doesn't have to be perfect. It never is perfect unless you point it out. So this is all Daryl's fault.
I'm sorry.
Making me not be able to miss it.
I'm sorry.
But it's fine. I don't mind the rough look to the art. I think it's fine. It's the style of the book. It's consistent between, you know, issue to issue. So it is what it is. There were a few things that I liked in the action scenes, particularly like when Ravage got kicked and you do have the anime lines kind of, you know, showing the action. But I thought that was a fun panel. But, you know, on the whole, this was a pretty enjoyable. I'm enjoying this arc and, you know, hopefully it keeps up.
All right. And Mike, what did you think of this issue?
I'll echo a lot of the same sentiments here. The story, I actually really enjoyed. The Swindle and Bumblebee kind of like interactions and that part of the arc, I really, really liked. And I actually really, I like this different take on Bumblebee, where he's not just the typical, like, hey, I'm the scout, I'm the likable character, yada, 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 you know? I like that they're doing something different with them. And I like when they do something different with all characters. So, yes, keep on with that. I did not care about Skywarp's piece in this one. It felt like it was just a distraction to the main story, the main plot that was going on in this particular book. I get that they're trying to, like, piecemeal show, like, what he's about and kind of slowly move his arc along, but it was just a distraction here, and I didn't need to see that. Like, I found myself skipping over, like, a lot of, like, the dialogue from his scenes. And then, like, once, like, the book itself was done with Bumblebee and Swindle's, like, arc, like, I just didn't care much anymore. I will echo Daryl with the art. I'm still not the greatest fan of it. It's not bad. I think it was better than it has been. But it still needs a bit more for me. We got spoiled over the last, like, 10 years with people like Alex Milne doing interiors, and I don't think that we can look at other interior artists and be that objective about it anymore, because we know just how good it could be, and when we see it not that good, it just always feels like a bit of a letdown, a bit of a disappointment. And that's not fair to the artist, because, you know, they're giving it their all, and they have a particular style, and they were chosen and hired for that particular style. But at the same time, it's like, we know how good it could be, we're just not seeing that. So, but yeah, overall, I'd say it is a successful issue. It is a solid story. I did enjoy that part. Art could use a bit more. Could use a bit more work and drop the excess stuff. And yeah, it'll be a perfect issue.
All right. Well, that's our review of Transformers number 33, and we will move on to Transformers media news.
All right. In media news this week, they waited a week, but they have now added the remaining G1 episodes to YouTube. Hasbro Pulse's YouTube account is where you can now find seasons 3 and season 4. Yeah, those three episodes that encompass season 4 of the G1 cartoon are all on there. That means all of the 1980s Transformers cartoon is on YouTube, on the Hasbro Pulse YouTube account. So,
with the exception of the movie, which is on no streaming services at all,
but can be found being streamed constantly on Facebook. and most people have at least 4 copies of it. So you're probably okay.
Right.
But in new movie news, the Transformers Rise of the Beasts, the Optimus Prime truck is been spotted in Cusco. So that's in Peru. And we were talking about how Andrew Griffith is hopefully going to be an extra. Probably not, because he's busy. But we fully expect him to be in the movie. And Mirage, the Porsche, has been spotted in Montreal again. So they're still shooting some stuff in Montreal, and Optimus Prime, the transport truck, is in Peru. So there you go with that. The filming that they did in Machu Picchu in Peru is already done. So there is, that didn't take long. And we did hear from Andrew Griffith about that particular thing and how it was only going to be 2 actors and 100 crew. So that was the limit for that, and it did not take long, so it's done. And now they're back in Montreal, which is what we just discussed, and they're going to some new locations in Peru. So that's interesting. And Jeremy, I'm going to throw this to you, because we were talking about this, and it's business. We are going to talk some business, so put your business caps on, but Paramount Pictures has officially announced restructuring. Jeremy, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, as we mentioned, I think it was a week or two ago, Brian Robbins is taking over as chairman and CEO of Paramount Pictures. And as I was reading over all this stuff, because I knew you were going to, you know, give this to me,
mm-hmm.
it looks like it's a result of the head of Viacom CBS, which is the parent company of Paramount, Sherry Redstone. She has been wanting to put more of a priority on Paramount Plus, and she hasn't been happy with the direction of Paramount. So it seems like the change was made because she was not happy. She wanted a number of films to go to Paramount Plus, and instead, like A Quiet Place 2 went to theaters. So I think the thing to get out of this is TV and streaming is going to be the priority. And I don't know what that has in store for the movie side of things. It's at least the big theatrical movies. I think, as we talked about the last time, it's likely going to be scaled back. I mean, they already have so many movies kind of in the queue or in production that, you know, they're going to come out. Top Gun Maverick, which has been delayed like a million times. Tom Cruise, I don't think, is going to let that movie come out on streaming first or streaming day and date. He has enough clout. That movie is going to come out in theaters exclusively when it's released. I don't know if Hasbro has that same clout with the performance of Snake Eyes. I think they, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see Rise of the Beast at the very least get a day and date, which I'm excited for. You know, as someone with a kid under 12, I really don't see myself going out to the theaters. I mean, I'm not going to go see the 86 movie in theaters, but it's coming out in the next week or so. And just give me movies where I can watch on my TV at my leisure.
I went to the theaters, Jeremy. Pause it.
Well, yeah, but you...
But I'm what?
You live dangerously.
Oh...
I like the ability to pause the movie so I can go use the bathroom. Come on. But anyway, this transition, it's effective immediately. The now former CEO, Jim Giannopoulos, is staying on through the end of the year. I mean, it says to ensure a smooth transition. I'm sure it's just for a non-disclosure agreement play out. But I'm wondering about the state of the Transformers movies. I mean, Rise of the Beast, like I said, it's in production. It is filming now. It is going to come out. The money has been spent on the production side of things. There's the Nickelodeon cartoon that's going to come out. That is under Viacom CBS as well. I could see that having some play on Paramount Plus. So I don't know. We'll have to see where it goes. But it is official and it was really quick. So we'll see what happens.
I think we're moving into this kind of like period where the influence of like movie theaters is just going to continue to wane until they introduce something new or some new way of kind of seeing that. Because this has been kind of the trend over the last like 100 years. once home television and home media starts to catch up with the movie going experience, movie theaters start to decline. You know, once like living room TV sets were introduced, the experience of going to the movies was not as relevant anymore. So they started introducing things like, hey, you can see it in 3D, you know, like the old style 3D stuff. And then when that really didn't, like, that kind of worked a little bit, and then television at home kind of went away a little bit, and then it cycled back the other way, where when movie theaters started to decline, TV started to come back up again, the movie industry went to, like, the widescreen format to try and differentiate itself, and now the home televisions are kind of, I've already gotten that back, so... I wonder if we're in this period of decline for movie theaters, and they're going to have to make something like brand new or some new experience in order to draw people back to movies.
I mean, I think there's always going to be a place for the big blockbuster movie that deserves the big screen experience. Like, your Marvel movies, your Star Wars, you know, the big, you know, experience movies where just being in there in a crowd of people all experiencing the same thing at the same time, that has a draw. But I think the number of movies that really can get by without that, it's, you know, much more. I mean, like, over the last year, especially, like, Warner Brothers has released all their movies on HBO Max.
Sure.
And
sure.
I think that's been great. I didn't need to see the Space Jam movie, you know, in a theater. We watched it at home, and it was just as funny, just as good.
Was it?
Theaters are going to have to figure out what they're going to do in making themselves a destination for those movies.
Yeah.
Was it good, Jeremy? Was it good?
Oh, watching it with a seven-year-old and seeing him laughing throughout the whole thing made it good.
I see.
That's fair. Context. Context experience.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was still, I mean, where's Michael Jordan?
I mean, I hope they do kind of figure that out, because I mean, I don't want to see movie theaters go away or even like start to close or anything. But I do understand that there is, I should say, there was right up until the pandemic a glut of movies that came out, and at any one point there was a good dozen different movies in the theater, and it's like that oversaturation point. It's like, all right, what am I gonna watch?
Listen, movie theaters have had it pretty good for quite a while. So, mm-hmm. You know, I don't particularly feel bad for movie theaters right now. I feel bad for the people that work there, but I don't feel bad mm-hmm. for movie theaters in general. It's, you know, $12 for popcorn is not, you know, is not a good deal. If they can transition, like what they're trying to do is have their cake and eat it too right now. They're trying to do streaming and have you pay for streaming as well as pay on top of that for new releases, and also get the huge turnouts to theaters, which is, it's just, it's not, you can't have both sides of it. So, you know, either save the big blockbusters for the theaters and bring out some, you know, the kind of art house, you know, stuff direct to your streaming services. But you can't charge, you know, top dollar for these things for people to do at home. That's particularly my opinion. I know, Jeremy, you like to pay for the movies when they're coming to your house. I'm already paying for the streaming services. I'm not going to give you another $30 for the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that a few times. I mean, thankfully, like the HBO Max stuff, you don't have to.
Right. Yes.
So like I paid for Black Widow.
Right. That's you know, that's completely different. That's another whole nother discussion. But
yeah,
they got to figure something out right now, because this is the movie industry right now is in a kind of a conflict as to what their immediate future is going to be. And it's kind of where the music industry was with, you know, downloads and stuff like that. They're trying to control it, and it's out of control right now. You can't ask somebody to have 14 different streaming services. That's ridiculous.
One other thing I wanted to bring up about the Paramount deal that I'm hoping will be a positive coming out of this. Right now, Paramount is one of the studios that does not participate in the Movies Anywhere service, where, you know, you buy your movie on Google Play, and if it's in the movies, if it's eligible for Movies Anywhere, it'll show up on iTunes, Vudu, wherever else that participates in that. Paramount is one of the studios that does not. So if you've bought any of the Transformers movies digitally, it's just on the service you bought it from. It's not on any of the others. And if they are going with this digital play, I'm hoping they will revisit that and participate in Movies Anywhere, because like right now you can buy the 86 movie on a number of different services, but it's stuck on the service you buy it on. So if you buy like a new TV or device that doesn't support that service, then, you know, you're screwed. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up.
It's a very interesting topic, and I think we could probably have an entire episode on just that.
Sounds like an extra idea.
We got so many of those.
So that's it for media news, and we will finish up the show with convention news.
All right, we mentioned this in the toy show, but it bears repeating. TFCon has announced their health and safety rules for TFCon Baltimore. They are, number one, if you're not feeling well, stay home. Number two, masks are mandatory. If you cannot wear a mask due to any reason, do not attend the show. And there are no exceptions. Food and drink cannot be consumed on the show floor by attendees. And it doesn't say whether that happens, if that goes to panel rooms as well. But I would just assume yes, unless, you know, they tell you otherwise at the show. Wash and sanitize your hands often. And where possible, keep your distance. So we have a number of great designs on masks through our TeePublic store. I've purchased a number of them, and they're very comfortable. They're they hold up after, you know, now however many months we've been stuck like this, you know, washing it regularly. They're still great. So I would recommend heading over to transmissionspodcast.com/shop, get some awesome Transformers related masks, and then go and have fun at TFCon. So that is it for convention news.
And that takes us to the end of this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. As always, we end the show by giving a shout out to our Masterpiece Donatrion. So thank you again to John4x11good, Dinobot Maximize, and DemonTech82 for continuing to support the show at our highest level. We really appreciate it, and you guys are our most awesomest Donatrions. Jeremy already mentioned that we've got merchandise at our TeePublic store, particularly masks. So, yeah, definitely check it out. Transmissionspodcast.com/shop. Stock up on your masks for TFCon Baltimore, and we'll see you there. All right. Thanks, everyone, for... Oh, no. No, before I say goodbye, I forgot the most important thing. And we've got to give a shout-out again to our awesome producer, editor, Mike. And thanks again for joining us on the show. We've got that awesome Empire of Rust special episodes coming up very soon. And Mike, anything in addition you'd like to plug before we end the show?
Yeah, sure. I always want to plug Empire of Rust, so if you haven't considered becoming a Patreon, please, why don't you consider it and get a bunch of free episodes from the Patreon feed? It's going to be awesome. You'll hear Charles, and you'll hear Pat, you'll hear Matt, you'll hear all the cool people, all the coolest people, because, you know, Daryl doesn't want to be on it, so he's not one of the cool ones. Anyway, if you are up for following me on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, you can follow me at Minervian. That's MINERVION. And see all of the photography and 3D stuff and toy photos I put up there. And it's all cool stuff. So please give me a follow.
All right. And that will do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, all.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool Transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our Transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.
Successfully pressed a button. Daryl, yep. The button has pressed you.
I am depressed.
In Soviet Russia, button presses you.
Who was that? Charles.
Charles, are you asleep?
Charles.
I was muted. I was ending the show. I was muted. I was doing my whole spiel, and nothing was coming out. Oh well. All right.
Try again, Charles. You can do it. We have faith in you.
You got a great outtake, Mike. I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Oh, I will.